flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to the calls here. We're in regards to Pete Alonso. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I didn't chime in on it last week. BT wanted to give my thoughts on it. I just think it'd be a mistake for both sides at this point with Pete and the Mets. It just doesn't feel like neither or either side really wants each other under these circumstances. For me, it would have been different had the Mets gone out there and extended earlier in the offseason and given Pete a little bit more. If I want Pete back, I want a happy Pete back. And I don't think under this scenario you're getting a happy Pete Alonso.
I think you're overthinking it with all due respect. I really do. I get it. You know, I do from a human perspective. Really, you want your employees to be happy. Generally, a happy employee gives you a better chance to accomplish the goals of the company, which if the Mets would be to drive in a lot of runs and win some games here. I just look at the options without Pete, and I don't like what I see. Potentially. Not that Beatty couldn't be good, or Vientos can't transition, and Alvarez can't pick things up. Those things could happen, but I am mitigating risk. When I get Juan Soto at the start of the offseason, I'm making sure I got a lethal, even if he's not quite as lethal as he was when he first came up. I need some thump behind him, and Pete's got more thump than anybody else that they could bring in at this point.
And if bringing Pete back ever meant that they were out of Vlad, then I would be
That's different. I did say that.
Yeah.
This does not preclude them from still pursuing Vlad, and that's one of the first things I said when we started this an hour ago.
We don't know until we see the contract, right? Let's assume.
Nah, we know.
No, how do we know that?
We think it's going to be 6 years?
No. Well, let's just say it's 3, right? That was the one that was floated. Let's say it's 3 for the 68, 70, whatever, 90 million, however it is, the one that we heard about.
Okay.
Let's say it's that. And let's say that Pete doesn't opt out after whatever opt out, year one, year two, and he's still here. Then what?
You can still go get Vladdy for money.
Well, they better. My argument has really nothing to do with that because I'm assuming it's not going to. But if it did, meaning that if they commit, I don't know, $25 million a year to Pete, and Pete, for whatever reason, doesn't opt out and is here for 3 years, let's say.
Yep.
And that prevents them from being in on Vlad or Kyle Tucker or whatever, then I'd have a major problem with that.
But I don't think that it would, Sal, because think about this. You know, Marte's coming off the books here. McNeil's eventually coming off the books here. There's and that's why I like the reliance on somebody like Vientos and maybe not all of them. That's just not going to happen. But I would say between Vientos and the combination of, let's see, Mauricio, Acuna, and Beatty. If one, I mean optimally two, but if at least one of those other players becomes a legitimate everyday player along with Vientos, well now you're in a position where you've got, including Alvarez, now you're in a position where you've got multiple regulars making peanuts. You know, you're even before pre-arbitration, which would then, I still believe, allow you to go out and get Vlad Guerrero.
Do you think that the power of Pete will age well? Like, it feels like, obviously, you know, somebody like, let's say, Jose Reyes or Jazz Chisholm, like, you know that their skill set is not necessarily, even Lindor, maybe, you start to worry about at some point where he's not going to be the elite defensive shortstop, not going to be able to steal as much.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you would think might age well would be power. Are you there with Pete thinking that for the next, I don't know, three to five, whatever it may be, that his power will translate?
I think that the warning signs of slippage are real. And I'm going to tell you why. And even with somebody like Lindor, yeah, he loses a tick, put up a second. You know what I mean? So there's always, put him in left field if you had to in 2 years.
If you lose
like,
the power, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, God, P without power is like us. Yeah, I mean, there's basically no tools at that point as a Major League Baseball player. I think what is a little worrisome, and again, that's why if it was a long-term deal, like long-term, like a Judge or Soto or even a Lindor, I would say no chance in hell. See, I think people too often misconstrue why hitters crumble as they get older. When your eyesight begins to go a little, ironically, eyesight, just a little bit, and your muscle, like your quick twitch erodes, even if it's 1/100th or 1/1,000,000th of a millisecond, like that is perceptible stuff. Not to the human eye, but it matters trying to hit fastballs, okay? And what I say this because when that happens, and it happens to everybody, you start to guess a little bit because the only way you could catch up with the heat is by guessing. And when you guess, you're now susceptible to curves and other stuff because you're out in front, because you're committing earlier to catch up with the fastball. And when you do that, that's when the average drops. So I think the reason why Pete's average is dropping, not because the league is suddenly pitching him very differently, but I think he's lost a little tick of the explosion when he was like 25. Not a ton, but enough where it's, again, perceptible. And now he's trying to guess, and now instead of hitting 260, he's hitting 230, 240, 220.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll hit home runs for the next couple of years.
It should be the one thing that you could count on with Pete. I don't even know if that's enough for me to want to keep him around. Yes, in theory, on paper, pencil in those 30-plus home runs in that lineup, it sounds good. I just don't think it would be. I think it would be a mistake for both parties. Kevin is in Clark. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
How are you, Kev?
What's up, Kev?
Good, man. I just want to ask a quick question. It pertains to Alonso. I know the sample size is small, but I'm curious how Juan Soto, like the Juan Soto effect on the lineup of the Yankees, if he bumped up averages, if you think that's going to be similar, if that's what happened to the Mets this year.
Well, I mean, I didn't really recall many Yankee leadoff hitters benefiting too much from Juan Soto's presence. They didn't really have a leadoff hitter.
Well, once Glaber in the postseason, he became that guy.
They're talking about the end with Glaber.
That was it. I mean,
most of the season, it didn't.
The Yankees lineup was really last year just Soto and Judge. That was it. And Judge had a better year with Soto in front of him. Soto had a monster year with Judge behind him. But I don't think that it's going to be a similar dynamic at all in the event that the Mets do bring back Pete and have Soto hitting in front of him.
No, it's never going to resemble what the Yankees. No, it's never going to look like that again for Soto.
And what's the thing that we heard all last year about Pete? Again, the Mets need to get some protection for Pete. They need to have some protection in that lineup for Pete. I don't know why I used that voice, but it was fun. It's still going to be the same thing. Like, who's going to be hitting behind Pete in this? Dude, let's do your lineup real quick, BT.
Okay.
Let's do it with Alonso. We've done it. I just hit my chair now. We've done it with Alonso, without Alonso, where I think it's going to be Lindor. I mean, we did this with Mendy when I had him on that amazing day. Lindor.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that. You did it with him?
Yeah, I wanted the first three, and he wouldn't commit to it. But I was
Mendy.
Come on. And I go, Lindor wants
it. Give it up for your boy.
Yeah, he's like, it's too early. I'm like, come on, Mendy.
We got to break him in. A couple more years, he'll be comfortable.
He was
doing
great,
it.
Though. We got to have him on soon. Lindor, Soto, Vientos. See, and if you have Pete back, then I think I would probably flip it and have. I would go then in that scenario. Jeez. I'd probably go Lindor. The question, though, becomes, BT, is Soto okay with hitting second or third? Does he need to hit second?
I mean, he's a baseball player. He hit where I tell you to hit.
I know, but similar with Lindor, if Lindor was excelling in the leadoff spot and if Soto was excelling as a two-hitter, that changes things because I think my perfect lineup would be Lindor, Vientos.
That's what I said a month ago.
Soto.
Yep.
Alonso.
Correct. One through four. Boom.
But if Soto needs to be two, then it would be Lindor, Soto.
Pete's not a three-hitter.
Okay.
He's not a three-hitter. Then put Vientos three.
Okay, and then what? Pete four?
But I'm trying, again, I've used the word mitigate a few times because I think it's very applicable to this team. I'm trying to mitigate pressure and risk. So to me, there's more risk putting Vientos behind Soto. Why the hell would I do that? Why would I just benefit Vientos by getting fed fastballs with Soto behind him and Lindor in front of him running all day?
Okay, but still, as it pertains to Pete, I don't disagree with that, other than if Soto says, nah, I'm more comfortable too. Plus, I love the idea of Lindor-Soto back-to-back. Like, that's a...
I mean, Lindor Vientos is pretty good, too.
Agreed, especially hitting in front of
Soto.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, but I know, just you something about
hitter.
It.
So, and the other thing, too, Lindor switch
hate to have. I'd hate to have, like, a two-out rally, Lindor doubles, and I got Soto on deck. I want Soto up.
Yeah, but what if Vientos... Yeah,
well,
if I mean,
doubles,
I...
you probably
I,
walk
I,
in that spot.
I mean, I get it. You got Lindor as a switchy. You got Vientos as a righty. You've got, you know, Soto obviously is a lefty.
Yeah, I'm big on the right, left, right.
Yeah, you've got Alonso as a righty. Now, I think the under this iteration, who are you hitting five?
I would go...
What are we doing five?
I'm going...
Nimmo?
If we have it your way, I think I would go Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Nimmo, Pete.
I can't put Nimmo four. I just can't justify it. I can't do it.
Now you might not, but
I don't want to put him four.
But it's also not, I mean, you're looking.
It's not a four hitter.
Yeah, look at who the Yankees had to clean up last year.
Like, yeah, they sucked.
Yeah, cleanup hitters aren't.
With that.
But it's still, cleanup hitters aren't what they used to be. It's just not the same. I don't
hear
need
you,
it.
But.
Man,
but
so in that in this lineup, I actually like it. Lefty righty balance. You get switch, as you said, with Lindor. Soto, two holes. So you got one and two. Boom, dynamic. Three, you got Vientos. Nimmo behind him. Well, I think Nimmo could hit with some power. He's going to hit 20-plus home
runs. He's definitely going to hit some home runs. He always does.
And get on base. And then you have Pete.
Well, the on base been dropping.
And then you have
3 years in a row. Hard.
And then you have Pete to clean him up. Here's why I like this lineup better than yours, even though yours on paper sounds nice.
Mm.
In order of trust in the lineup,
yeah.
This is who I trust. Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Nimmo, Pete.
Okay, I mean, listen, when you say that, I get it. I get that. I'm just trying to push this further down. Again, I'm going to stick with Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Pete. I'm going to go Nimmo, five.
Okay.
Alvarez, six.
Right.
McNeil, seven.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Acuna, Mauricio, what a Siri, whatever. I just love the thought. I can't
see... BT. It's a lot deeper with Alonso in it.
Oh, come on. I just can't tell you how appealing it is for me, because we're focused on Pete, which is the gist of the conversation. But if I've got Lindor one and I can sandwich Vientos in between Lindor and Soto, I'm doing it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Frank is on Long Island. What's up, Frank?
Frank A.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Just a comment on this. I think the Mets are playing with fire with Alonso. Vientos had a breakout year. But, you know, it could very much look at being his first year, because he didn't play much the year before. So now he's going into his sophomore year, and you know pitchers are going to make adjustments with young hitters.
So was he.
And he could get frustrated.
He's
yeah, but they don't always do it. How did Alvarez do it?
Well, maybe Alvarez just isn't the hitter that Vientos is.
Yeah, but you know that sophomore year. It's not just a jinx. They're pitched differently.
Okay.
And if he starts chasing, you know, that could be behind. I just think it's a bad move.
Well, Frankie, think about that. And Frank, you could be right. I mean, I don't know that Vientos going to the Hall of Fame, but that's why I love having Soto behind him.
Right.
Because the ability to expand the strike zone and force Vientos to swing at slop is really curtailed when you have Soto coming up behind. You want two guys on in front of Soto? Or you want to give Vientos a chance to at least get himself out, but with, you know, by swinging the bat and not walking.
I don't hate it. What I don't love in that scenario is, well, two things. One, Soto's comfortability. I want to make sure he's okay with hitting three. So assuming that he is, I don't love then the depth behind that. You go right from Lindor, Vientos, Soto to Pete, Nimmo, five. Like, I feel like there's a little bit more of a drop-off, whereas you have, if you have Vientos, then Nimmo, then Pete, it's lengthening it out a little bit. It's the same guys. We're really, you know, it's the same guys. It doesn't really matter. It's semantics here.
Mm.
But just in my mind, the trust level thing, I think, is a big thing. Plus, Alvarez, I do think, can lengthen out that lineup, to your point. You know, in this scenario, you had Alvarez, you had Pete five, Alvarez six potentially, or even seven. If you want to throw in, say, McNeil behind Pete. You know, their boys, maybe have them back-to-back in the lineup, and you have a little, you go from Pete being a cleanup guy to McNeil kind of resetting the
tables
a little bit.
Yeah, listen, they got some options, but a lot of the options depend on, number one, is Pete back, and number two, are the young kids what we think they could be?
Well, see, I guess even without Pete, that's why I'm okay, because let's say without Pete, Lindor.
No, I don't like this lineup at all without
Lindor,
Pete.
Soto, Vientos,
like
Nimmo, Alvarez. I think Alvarez can produce just as well as Pete.
As well as Pete?
Yeah, I think he can hit with power. I mean, maybe he doesn't hit 35 homers, maybe it's 28 homers.
I got to see Alvarez play. I don't know what he's going to be.
Well, if he doesn't produce like that, he's going to be a bust, and that's a problem for the Mets regardless. They're going to need some production there if they want to lengthen out that lineup. Linda's in Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Hi, guys. How are you doing this
Good.
Morning?
What's up, Linda?
Okay. Sal, you know I've been saying this about Pete since when we talked on the overnight. Guys, there's no way that I want Pete hitting behind Soto in the lineup, okay? Let's put the home runs aside. We all know Pete can hit home runs, and that is definitely needed in this lineup. I don't want Pete hitting behind Soto because of his decline in average the last 3 years. I have more faith in Pete striking out or grounding out with Soto on base at a 42% clip than I do of him, you know, hitting a ball in the gap or down the line. When that would be, you know, we all know he can hit home runs, but if a situation calls for a ball in the gap or down the line, I have no confidence in Pete to do that. That's why I do not want Pete hitting behind Soto.
Yeah, which is also why, Linda, and thank you for the call. See, when you have to factor in what you think Pete is going to perform like this year. And in my mind, I'm going to go based off of the last 2 years combined with him not being as happy as can be. Like, in a perfect world, Pete would have hit 45 homers last year, driven in 100-something runs, and there would be no issue, and the Mets would have signed him to a 5-year deal for 150, whatever, throw out the numbers there. And then we'd all be happy. Pete's happy. Mets fans are happy. They get that bat back. There are now question marks as to what Pete currently is, what he will be, and what the mindset is going to be off of an offseason where he's been getting dragged and devalued when he just proved last year he didn't have it to produce in a prove it year. Michael Conforto did the same thing, and there was much hype about what Conforto was going to be. Remember, Mets offered him a big contract. I loved Conforto as a player.
I liked him too.
I thought he was going to be a star. Like
I liked
320
him. I liked him.
Star.
Yeah, I liked him.
Turned down the deal.
Got hurt, hurt his shoulder.
Dude, he's like...
I know. Although he was pretty good last year, actually. But I liked Conforto when he was young.
He's
I thought he was going to be good.
Yeah, me too. He's like an average major leaguer. He'll be out of the league in however many... Like,
he's also getting older. He's been around a little bit now.
I'm just saying, well, Pete's also getting... Like, are we going that way? Like, I don't know what Pete is going to be. I don't know how anybody could say confidently, other than expecting 30-something homers. But even that might be on the decline because it's been on the decline for the last 3 years.
Listen, though, here's the one thing that I cannot overlook here. And I said this going into last season. Based on the diminished average for the 2023 season,
right.
I said the onus is on Pete to prove that that was an outlier. And he didn't, because then the other numbers dropped. Yeah, the average went back up to a bit of a more acceptable level, but now there's slippage in other important statistical columns. So, listen, if he was a perfect player, he'd have 9 offers like Soto had.
Right.
He's a very flawed player. He's also very important for where the Mets are. And, you know, it doesn't hamstring their future or handcuff their future. You got to get this done.